Now, Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with the effervescent David Cohen.
Hello, Douglas.
We are here today to discuss the nerd. And is the nerd finally cool with the advent of the Big Bang Theory and the brand new hit show Scorpion? Dave, what do you think?
I think the nerd is in vogue. I think, although I would have to argue that I don't think it's being portrayed in the correct light.
Well, I think we get into a problem because we've got to define the nerd and versus the geek and versus whatever else.
Let's do that first.
Let's get a definition first and see where we are. What does it mean to be a nerd today anyway? Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Well, now, this definition of a nerd, I'm going to define nerd and then geek, has been confirmed by my son, who's in high school.
A high authority. Yes.
Exactly. All right. So here we go. Nerd. An unstylish, unattractive, or socially inept person, especially one slavishly devoted to intellectual or academic pursuits.
Interesting.
All
and
right?
Just for the heck of it, there's a geek is kind of associated with that.
It is.
You want to talk about that? Just let me get an idea.
A geek is a person who is very interested in and knows a lot about a particular field or activity. So a geek is not necessarily asocial. It could be a cool person. You could hang out with them. They have social skills, whereas a nerd does not. And a geek doesn't necessarily have to be a genius. I think a nerd, the implication at least with a nerd,
right,
is that they're very intelligent, just asocial.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
So what about you and me? Where do you think we fall out of here?
I'm not going to say that I'm proficient enough to be an expert in anything.
I would agree with that.
And so, I'm certainly not a genius.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. So, but all right, let's see if you fit the nerd
there.
Definition.
That's the first part of a nerd. Well, you want to tell me one piece of the
Let's
or?
Let's go through the definition.
Okay,
let's see where Doug Viviani fits in here. Unstylish. Unattractive?
Absolutely.
I disagree. I think you're a handsome man.
Maybe 20 years ago.
socially inept? No, that's
no,
not
I, yeah, I'm not in
that's
that range.
Not you. And are you slavishly devoted to intellectual or academic pursuits? No.
Unless you consider everything old is new again, an intellectual pursuit. No.
To me, you're more of a geek.
I agree. Let's just hear what the, just briefly.
Oh, so you don't necessarily have to be highly intelligent.
Correct.
I mean,
there we go.
I think you are, but you're not necessarily socially inept. You are very good socially.
Okay.
And you are a person who is interested a lot, knows a lot about a particular field, i.e. Star Trek.
Yes, and I think definitely a geek because I would say this. I have a stop switch button or something like that, or a break, where if I'm in a group of people that I know have no interest in Star Trek, I'm not going to talk about that 24/7. Although there are times if something comes up and it's relevant to the conversation, I will bring it in and try to, you know, say, oh, there was an episode about this and whatever, this theme and philosophy, what have you. It doesn't happen that much.
Right.
But yeah, I will suggest that I would be more of a geek.
More of a geek.
Yeah, as opposed to this gentleman.
Game rule one. All couples must be boy-girl.
Not too bad, Eugene.
That's Eugene from Greece. We're going back to the late 70s. He made up for it later on.
What's your name? I want you.
It's Eugene.
You're a great picture.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, that's looking at the, if you remember that, that's Greece. We're going back. Back in the day.
History of the nerd, right?
Yeah, the history we've got to look at. And I think that's kind of the first uncelluloid nerd. And if you remember that, gentlemen, there was no aspirations to be a nerd in any way, shape, or form. There was no admiration of that.
Oh, God,
he was put down like crazy.
Right.
At the end, they made up for it with his picture business. But he was the foil for the, and not in a good way, for the in-gang, which were a bunch of boobs to begin with, but that's a different story. Let's take a look at a different movie, Meatballs, a year later, 79.
I think that chick over there is staring at me.
Which chick? Where?
Over there.
Hey, she is staring at you. You better go over and talk to her.
What's cooking good-looking?
Your fly's undone.
Hey, Spaz. I was watching you. Looked like you had a chance there for a second.
Thank you.
Bill Murray trying to
Spaz.
What are you doing that for? Where's that come from? There it is.
It was in anticipation.
Of course. What else is there?
I love that. We still say that today. We do that chant.
You do it. Your son does that when you walk in the room, is what you're saying.
Basically. In his mind, at least.
But those are the two, the beginning of the nerddom on in the movies and
frowned upon. They were laughed at.
And
yes,
completely socially inept.
Correct.
With women there, you could see. You know, we couldn't do anything. John Hughes.
Not talking about us in particular.
No,
necessarily.
Back in the day, maybe, but now we're quite the experienced gentleman. Unlike this man. Oh boy.
Sorry if I embarrassed you.
I'm not embarrassed. Fresh breath's priority in my life.
What year are you?
Freshman.
Give me a buck. Okay, get it.
Ted, go for it.
Ted from 16 Candles, Anthony Michael Hall showing the what?
The panties of Molly Ringwald.
Yes, in 16 Candles. So he wasn't a hero, and he was made fun of extraordinarily throughout that movie.
Right.
But he was likable at least. So did things start to change a little bit? I think so. Mid 80s, we had Weird Science.
And what would you little maniacs like to do first?
You know, and Kelly LeBrock there, and they made this beautiful woman, of course, because they were so smart with technology.
Yeah, right. But they couldn't meet a real woman, so they had to create one.
Of course, and then you've got this gentleman representing.
Did I do that? Did I do that?
You know, that's his favorite there, Urkel, and from Family Matters, and that's 1989. So through the 80s, you know, we're still struggling. It's still not exactly something that you want to be, is this nerd.
No, definitely. Not in real life and not on film.
You know, and another definition to me of nerd, just as an aside, is someone that has an interest in something and maybe even an aptitude in something that's not mainstream.
Right.
That, to me, doesn't mean that person should be ridiculed. That's just me, right. You know, because I'm sort of in that range, in that description. But I don't think that it's something that that we are now in our society now expressing. But I don't know that individuality is such a bad thing.
It's not. If you're not into sports, if you were a boy, you weren't into sports. You were a nerd. Basically.
Yeah, God forbid you, you know, as a kid, built Legos instead of played with the Hot Wheels at 8, 6, or 7 years old. You
now, we're like men. I don't know what it's like for women, but, you know, there certainly are female nerds, too. I don't know what kind of pressures they felt or feel, but...
Well, you know, and they're always portrayed, you know, they're wearing glasses.
Right.
And they don't know how to, you know, dress properly and all of that. And I guess, you know, certainly that fits, but doesn't the aspect of, you know, us as a society, looking at them, and they're terrible because they're wearing glasses and they're, you know, their pants are short, you see their white socks. Where are we going with that?
Pocket protector.
Right. I mean, it is humorous, but at some point on the serious nature of being a father now, like, you know, this is where bullying, I think, started to come about.
I might be wrong. I totally agree. That's right. A good point. That's pretty smart. See, you're a smart guy.
Well, maybe I'm a nerd. I don't know. Let's see what we have here.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. I'm holding a book that will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at 80, you need to read this free book. It includes the strategy I use to make a 72% profit on a trade where the stock only moved 12%. You'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-941-5968. Skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-941-5968. 1-800-941-5968.
When you're looking for a job, changing your career, or applying for a promotion, your resume is the first thing seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job. Send your current resume to resumedoctorinc@aol.com for a free online review. You'll receive a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let us make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to resumedoctorinc@aol.com. That's resumedoctorinc@aol.com.
Anyone can create a podcast on the web. In fact, there are millions of them online. But if you want quality internet talk radio, just remember this address, talkzone.com. TalkZone is internet talk radio for planet Earth with talented hosts, great guests, and good conversation. Ready to share your thoughts and ideas with a global audience? Become a TalkZone show host yourself. Learn more at TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio for planet Earth.
TalkZone.com.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Okay, what is happening now, Jay?
Well, we're going to return to Everything Old is New Again with Doug and Dave.
Oh, okay. I got nothing else better to do.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Nerds! Nerds!
What is a nerd?
They've been laughed at, picked on, and put down.
I'm not kissing a nerd.
They don't have the moves or the muscle, but they've got the brains.
I know what we're going to do.
It's time for the odd to get even.
Their action tonight demands an immediate retaliation.
Revenge of the Nerds. Their time has come.
I drink to that.
Or another word for that is Everything Old is New Again. Does that work? No. We might be the sequel, if you will, to Revenge of the Nerds. That was from 1984, and I think this movie, and it sounds so silly, is the cornerstone of turning the corner of, is nerddom, or is it bad to be a nerd? Is it fun to be a nerd? Is it a nerd smart? They investigated all those things.
Yeah,
they went over the top with that movie.
I think so. I think kids who were, a little on the nerdish or geekish side, I think saw a little hope watching that movie. Finally, they were not the people that people laughed at.
The outcasts. And it was funny because my dad, who was, born in the 30s, and when that came out, what would be mid-50s, I guess, he didn't believe in that movie. He rooted for them, and he actually liked the movie because he grew up in a situation he admits that he was nerdish.
Really?
And or geekish, one or the other, depending on the definition in the 30s or 40s. And he related to the nerds and loved it.
That's
Great. Just interesting. Let's hear what Booger, one of the characters in that, has to say.
Yeah, I think it's obviously because there's a lot of funny stuff in it and memorable comic bits. But I think the other thing about it, that it actually does have a message, and it involves acceptance and tolerance. I think that that's a very powerful thing to people, and I think people respond to it for that reason also.
He's at a convention, and he's answering questions about Revenge of the Nerds and why is it so popular. And by the way, there were sequels. There was a television show.
Right.
It went on and on a little bit there.
It was good for his career, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I you still look at him. He's one of those guys. You see him on what's that show with the girl, the comedy? Anyway, you see him on a couple of different things, and you go, oh, there's Booger.
There's Booger.
He's the principal on Who's That Girl, I think is his name. What's
the
name of that show with Zoe Deschanel?
Yeah.
You got to remember that he's giving that advice, but this is the real guy.
Frankly, I'm not too wild about this next event, but it has become a tradition here at Adams, the belching contest. From the Lambda Moo team, Dudley Dawson.
Booger. Booger.
So that's the guy that's telling us the quote before about acceptance
good
and
message,
the different points
acceptance.
Of view and good message. I just thought that'd be funny to juxtapose that. He's come a long way.
Yes, long way.
So it's sort of like two steps forward, one step back, because in the 90s we had The Simpsons with the comic book guy, and he has a little...
You saved my life?
Yeah, after you were so mean to us.
So now we're even.
You need to avoid stress. What kind of work do you do?
I run a comic book store.
Oh, dear Lord. We call that profession the Widowmaker. or we would if any of the proprietors were married, you should close down the store for a while. Then get a friend to run it for you. You do have friends, don't you?
Well, the super friends.
Well, you should get some friends who aren't printed on paper.
What, you mean action figures?
I mean, it's funny. And let's go back to our show about comedy. If you want to listen to the podcast, if you've missed that show, we talked about stand-up comedy, and you can find that on everythingoldisnewagain.biz. You got to be able to laugh and make fun of yourself. That's okay. But that's from The Simpsons, the comic book guy. Couldn't be any more nerdy, right?
Oh, gosh.
Or geeky.
You know, he might be a blend. He might be Nurkish.
You're a big fan of The Simpsons. How do they promote this fellow? Is he on the show a lot or what?
I'd like to see more of him because he's funny, but he's odd enough to make you laugh.
Well, that's what I think is happening here with Revenge of the Nerds, Hollywood, and maybe our society, sometimes Hollywood's a reflection, starting to laugh maybe with the nerds now in the 80s and 90s, and then even now in 2003 with Old School.
Welcome, everyone, to the official debate section of the Charter Review. What is your position on the role of government in supporting innovation in the field of biotechnology?
Recent research has shown that empirical evidence for globalization of corporate innovation is very limited. And as a corollary, the market for technologies is shrinking. As a world leader, it's important for America to provide systematic research grants for our scientists. I believe strongly that there will always be a need for us to have a well-articulated innovation policy with emphasis on human resource development. Thank you.
That's the way you do it. That's the way you debate.
I love it.
That's
the way you debate.
That's the way you debate.
I mean, now we're laughing with them. We see the joke. The joke is about being intelligent, but it's not making fun of being intelligent, but it's sort of having fun with all of that.
Right. It's another thing to be good at. Being smart.
Right. And so I think we've taken a turn here, and that's as recently, 2003, with that movie. And I think it's a real, real fun discussion to talk about now. Is Will Ferrell, have you seen him on Saturday Night Live? You see him now. I don't know who he's like personally, but his character that he plays all the time, that cheerleader character and all, they sort of have this emotional quotient is off.
Oh,
not exactly,
absolutely.
With the society, if you will,
yeah,
mainstream.
They're definitely marching. His character's always marching to a different beat, no
right.
doubt.
And sometimes he does it well, is commercially successful. Sometimes he's not. I figure maybe we could reach out, since we're branching out here, to all these different people to try to interview. We'll throw it out there and see Will Ferrell. Wouldn't it be a great interview?
He would. Will, if you're listening, call us.
Yeah, any personal stories? I'm wondering where you stood and stand in your life. Have you been a nerd anywhere since or outside of the walls of this studio?
I've had moments. I've had a few moments.
Any come to mind? I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was collecting comic books. I don't anymore, but I would collect them. And when I had a day, this is when I was in my 20s, all right, which is about 10 years ago. I remember if I ever got a girl to come back to my place, before I went out with her, I hid the comic books because there was no way a girl was going to find out I was into comic books. I was ashamed. I was ashamed of it.
Now, that might have been a good tact because I was the exact opposite. I had a Marvel poster that was probably, it was framed. I'm going to, picturing it now, at least 3 feet by 3 feet above the
of who?
Bed
who was
of
it?
Every single character in Marveldom in the 90s.
Oh, man. And so when you had a woman over?
Problem is it never really it never came into play. Let's put it that way. I really never got a
no
chance
fear.
To
you didn't
that.
Have to bring it down.
Because I would have no, if it came up, I would have no qualms with or difficulty talking about comics or Star Trek or whatever. And maybe it did turn a lot of these, or music. I mean,
well,
I'm a nerd about
good.
A lot of
you
things.
Were, you were definitely more evolved than I was.
Yeah, I never, but you got married a lot earlier in life than I did.
No,
as a result,
that doesn't mean anything.
I wonder if that had anything to do with it. I don't know.
Because I hid my comic books? I don't think so.
did they ever come out? I mean, where are they now?
I hate to say it, but I think I tossed them.
Oh, no.
I did. I tossed them. These weren't like collectible kind of comic books. They were just like the current comic books that were coming
out. Just as an aside right now, as a comic book collector myself, there's really no point to collecting them now. They're on the internet. You can get them at any time. The only ones to collect are the ones from, let's say,
way back when, right?
85 and before then.
Right.
After that, they were pretty amazing.
You have every Avengers. Current. You have every Avengers comic book, right?
I'm sorry, Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four,
yes, absolutely. I just love this song. I got to hear a little more of this.
Only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams.
If you own a business, you know incorporating can be a smart way to protect yourself and your assets. So the question is, why haven't you incorporated your business yet?
My business? It's too small.
Wrong. No matter how small your business, you run the risk of losing all your personal assets, your car, your home, even your entire life savings if you're not incorporated.
Incorporating is very complicated.
Actually, incorporating is easy and fast. You can do it in just 10 minutes. Call now for your free guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-8645.
I need a lawyer to incorporate. That's really expensive.
You don't need a lawyer, and we don't offer legal or financial advice. Incorporate.com is a service company whose only mission is helping people like you incorporate safely, easily, and quickly. Find out how simple it is to protect your family and personal assets by incorporating. Call now for your free guide. 1-800-945-8645. 1-800-945-8645. That's 1-800-945-8645.
This show is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal services for over 26 years. We are a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need of a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani.
If you want to register your own.com and are looking for a responsible, sustainable, high-quality domain name registrar, then look at Pernick.com. Pernick includes a ton of value-added services like a parking page, Whois, privacy, dynamic DNS, and much more with every domain name registration at no extra cost. Not many companies can say that. So give Pernick.com a try today. Pairnic.com.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
It is your ear. There is your ear.
All right. But that means that you walk around with a rubber ear in your pocket all day?
Yeah, like half the time.
Oh, well, I have to give you a ride home. Yeah, because you don't have a car or anything, right?
Right, I don't have a car.
Because he doesn't have a car and he does magic. Awesome.
The evolution of the nerd, and we're getting a little closer to today's world with the new millennium. The question is there a new nerd? Is the nerd fun? Is the nerd
What
in?
Was that clip from, just to
of
let
course,
people know?
Of course, if you don't know that, I'm not going... No, it's, of course, the 40-year-old virgin, Judd Apatow, I think was really an inspirational movie. It was really fun. Music was great.
And as a 40-year-old virgin, you could relate
could
to
relate
it.
Relate to that when he's home sitting around painting these stick figures, or what are these figures? Remember that scene?
Yeah.
And running around with playing the instrument and playing video games. Yeah, those are my days.
and you're unfortunately, talking about the movie or you?
And unfortunately, evenings in my, my 40s. Anyway, I think that's a fun look at the 40-year-old virgin in terms of magic, which we are going to do shows
you like
about,
magic, but, don't you?
Yeah, you know, isn't that nerdy? God forbid someone like magic. How about the difficulties with women? Let's see what he has got to deal with that.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting. What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp. I'm an accomplished ventriloquist. Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master.
You done? Listen, the problem most men have is they just plain straight up have no clue how to talk to women.
Just ask questions. Okay, that's it. Because women do not care about what you have to say at all anyway, you know? And all they want to do is talk about themselves. So you're just going to let them do that.
That totally worked. I literally said nothing, and she found me best.
Welcome to my life, my real life at home.
You don't treat women like that, though.
No, I ask tons of questions.
Yes.
Yes.
Which any good conversant person would do.
That's just kind of the common denominator of us as geeks, if you will, or nerds, to that movie. And while it resonated because it spoke about comics, working with technology, this gentleman was not a genius, couldn't deal with women until the end of the movie. He was a good person, but with a low, what we call EQ, right? What's an EQ? Emotional quotient. They have a new quotient term for that now. Yeah.
Not good socially, in other words.
Right, not good socially. But it again, we're progressing a bit here in the new millennium where we're laughing with these people, a little bit at them, but we're laughing with them. And now let's take a look at what Big Bang did in terms of making it a little more, I don't know, comic book orientated and how that's acceptable.
Well, what if the Hulk picked up Thor while Thor is holding the hammer?
Yeah.
Then by the transitive property of picking things up, Hulk picked up the hammer.
No, Hulk picked up Thor picked up the hammer.
Okay, hang on. If I go to a bar and pick up a guy, and he picks up a girl, and then we all leave together, did I pick up the girl?
Did that ever happen?
Hey, we talk about me or we talk about Thor?
So it's interesting because they've got a character that's not a nerd dealing with girls that, you know,
are nerds,
friends
right.
of our nerds. And they're friendly and they're bringing the two, is it crazy to say, cultures together.
Right.
In a fun way. I think
but
they've done a lot.
See, the thing is with today, though, I think they're making the nerd into more than I think a nerd is. And I think that might be discouraging to some nerds or geeks.
It might be. I see what you're saying, because the nerds on that show, of course, they're all well-established, tremendously
scientists.
Successful scientists.
Right.
Or what's that one fellow, an engineer that went to
almost all of them have girlfriends, very attractive, intelligent girls that are going out with them.
That adds a lot of pressure to them.
Yeah, they're almost like superheroes.
Well, here's a hint what to do when you have a discussion with a young lady.
When I look in your eyes and you're looking back in mine, everything feels not quite normal, because I feel stronger and weaker at the same time. I feel excited and at the same time terrified. The truth is, I don't know what I feel, except I know what kind of man I want to be.
Sheldon, that was beautiful.
I should hope so. That's from the first Spider-Man movie.
So now we're having some fun at the expense of comic book and comic book characters. But yeah, you can learn things from comic books. You can learn things from almost anything and anyone out there. And I think we're kind of hopefully pie in the sky opening up people's eyes to that.
So you're saying that they're not only bringing they're not only saying it's okay to be a nerd, but it's okay to be a nerd who reads comic books, because comic books are a way to learn.
And and he's also bringing that into his relationship.
Exactly. He's quoting movies.
Yeah, and then he, of course, have to have the Star Trek references.
A napkin.
Turn it over.
To Sheldon, live long and prosper, Leonard Nimoy.
He came into the restaurant. Sorry, the napkin's dirty. He wiped his mouth with it.
I possess the DNA of Leonard Nimoy. Do you realize what this means? All I need is a healthy ovum, and I can grow my own Leonard Nimoy.
Okay, all I'm giving you is the napkin, Sheldon.
I think that's the genius of that show. I don't think it's the most wonderful show on the planet, especially since we did a rebuttal show and discussion was, and I've now had the show kind of ruined by that Michelle that called, and she talked about to hear the fake laughter, the canned laughter. It's not live.
I know.
Kind of ruined
it did. Me too.
But I mean, that's
curse you, Michelle,
wherever you are. That's still fun. We're having fun with Star Trek now and having fun with comic books, and one more little split bit here with
down here on your desk.
Spock?
I need to speak with you. Now, to the matter at hand, you need to play with the transporter toy.
But it's mint in box.
Yes, and to open it would destroy its value. Consider this. What is the purpose of a toy?
To be played with.
Therefore, to not play with it would be
illogical. Oh, damn it, Spock, you're right. If I got on the bridge of the Enterprise, I would never, ever leave.
Trust me, it gets old after a while.
There's some fun there with logic, you know, and there's some value to logic if you're looking at that. And again, it's all in the context of good, clean fun.
Good clean book.
But I don't know, how many people are watching Big Bang? Is it that popular? Has it changed? Some people say it's changed people's point of view. Some people say it hasn't, about what we're talking about today. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's good because it's bringing, you know, it's saying it's okay to be smart. You know, right. And I think in that respect, it's definitely helping. Is it setting the bar too high? Maybe, but I guess some discussion, some awareness is better than nothing.
But also, it's very interesting. It just light bulb went off in some way. Some of those jokes that we've listened to and that you hear on Big Bang, if you're not too sharp, you may not get all of them. You have to be kind of aware of the pop culture or the pop culture that they're aware of and the references and so forth. So it's kind of fun to see that, I don't know, to call it cerebral comedy, but comedy that relies upon the pop culture, just as we do on Everything Old Is New Again, is popular. Right on this Big Bang Theory.
Years ago, expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
So, you know, the Big Bang Theory may have actually had some effect in making nerds cool. And on top of that, to talk about a pet peeve, we go back to that a little bit. We've done that a couple of times. First of all they ever eat is Chinese food, for the most part. And when they're sitting around that table in the living
room.
Right, and all they do is, it's so obvious, is take that fork and just push the food around over and over. All of them do that. None of them take a bite of any food.
I never noticed that. You never see them eat it.
It drives me insane. God forbid, could you take a piece of rice and put it in your mouth? I mean, it's unreal, that show with that.
Well, God knows how long that stuff's been sitting around the studio. I mean, I probably wouldn't with the hot lights.
I know, but give me some realism, please. Stop playing with your food. I mean, you know, maybe that's what nerds do. Do nerds play with their food?
I don't know. Do you?
So, yeah. Where do I go from there other than to prove that I'm a nerd? In that I know in 1951, the term nerd came from none other than Dr. Seuss,
right,
in the book If I Ran a Zoo, or Ran the Zoo.
Yes.
It just falls upon deaf ears. I mean, that's got to carry some weight.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I think that is the popular the popular definition or origin of the word nerd.
Perfect. Come on back.
What about geek?
I don't know where it came from.
I think it's Greek. I think it's a Greek word.
We'll find that out.
The earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford to go? Are big dental bills taking a big toll on your wallet? Would you like to have dental insurance, but think it's too expensive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company for a free information kit. See how you can help protect your teeth and your wallet for less than a dollar a day. 1-800-893-0322. This is real dental insurance that can help cover over 300 procedures, all the ones you're most likely to need. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. You can see any dentist you choose, and you'll never pay a deductible. Call in the next 10 minutes, and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-893-0322. That's 1-800-893-0322. 1-800-893-0322.
This is an urgent message for all individuals with extremely large credit card debt. No matter how much you owe on your credit cards, the company that has settled more debt than anyone in the U.S. could settle your debt too. While you make one low monthly program payment, you have the opportunity to hear how low your monthly program payment could be for free. This free information is available now simply by calling Freedom Debt Relief at 1-800-940-4409. I repeat, if you have extremely large credit card debt, you now have the ability to reduce your total debt and get one simple low monthly program payment. This could allow you to resolve your debt faster than you ever thought possible. But you should act quickly. Call Freedom Debt Relief now to learn how much you could save. 1-800-940-4409. Again, this life-changing information is available for free. To find out how much you may be able to save, call today. 1-800-940-4409. That's 1-800-940-4409. 1-800-940-4409.
This is Everything Old Is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Welcome. This is Davros from Doctor Who.
and you are listening to Everything Old is New Again. With Douglas Viviani and David Cohen. Be very afraid.
My name is Walter O'Brien, and I'm a genius. Einstein had an IQ of 165. Mine's 197. When I was a kid, it got me into a little trouble. Now that I'm an adult, nothing's changed. That's why I started this company. A tactical team made up of the smartest people on the planet. Just not necessarily the most normal people on the planet.
Mechanical prodigy, world-class shrink, a human calculator. You want to do something meaningful? Here's your chance.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. That's my dad telling me to get on the radio and do a radio show every week. just a reference there to Scorpion. I don't know if you've seen that show, but it is, I think, the next evolution of the nerd and where we stand to this day. And we'll be discussing that with David Cohen. How are you, Dave?
Yes, good, good.
I know you had
still
something
good.
You wanted to follow up on.
Well, I was looking to see who the actor was that played Walter O'Brien in Scorpion. He's British.
Yes,
believe it or not.
He and his cast of fellow members of the panel of Scorpion. We were at a panel with the real Walter O'Brien. That's a real person at the Comic-Con in 2014, and I saw them. He's got one of the highest IQs ever recorded. I think he's number four in the world right now. And I think they play it off as certainly they are people in this show that have the huge IQ but a low ability to communicate and deal with the real world. And
that's
Walter,
why they bring in that American Idol girl, that's
exactly
the woman that's in the show.
Yes, and I think it's a great show. There's limitations with everything, but let's just, before we dive into the show, let's find out why did a genius. This fellow, again, is maybe, would you say the fourth most intelligent person in the country?
Yeah.
Why is he doing a TV show?
For 25 years now, I've run a company that it's for people with high IQ and low EQ, and we try to make them functional in society and make them useful. Finding geniuses is hard. What we did was we figured, what if they could find us? What if we had more awareness and people saw themselves in the show and Googled and found the real company? Then the good we've done so far, which is, you know, we've caught four terrorists, stopped two wars, saved a lot of lives. We can do more good if more geniuses join us. So 5 or 8 years from now, people started studying computer science or artificial intelligence because we made it look cool. That might just help this country a little bit.
So there you go. I mean, it's
I gotta call them. Yeah. They need geniuses.
They rejected me outright just from the fact that I was stumbling as I was talking to them. No, the point of view that this gentleman's presenting is very interesting. He's doing the show as public relations
for his firm.
Firm or his school.
He is brilliant.
And he is. That's a genius thing. Yeah. But on top of that, it is altruistic in some ways in that he sees the good that he's done, and he's not lying when he says what he has succeeded at doing with stopping the wars and terrorism and so forth. This is a real-life guy. Now, not necessarily what's on the show is the episode is exactly what he does or did. I'm sure that's embellished, but it's interesting that this is a real-life person.
Yeah, if what he claims he actually did, that's pretty impressive. And you're right. The show is they concoct some kind of very weird and unbelievable circumstances they get out of. But I tell you one thing. I like Scorpion. My big issue with it, though, again, it's setting the bar too high for nerds and geeks, Doug.
Right. On the other hand, we have to understand that he is celebrating intelligence with that show.
It's a celebration of intelligence, and we don't do enough of that anywhere, let alone on TV. So I think it's about time for that.
And I think that's an important statement.
I don't get it. What is he talking about? Celebrating what?
No, it really is significant that he's diving into this. And maybe I see what you're saying for sure. I think as a result of the show, if it's successful and goes a number of years and gains, you know, popularity that we think it may give the impression that everyone that's a nerd or really, are they a geek? Because they're not that intelligent. But what I'm saying is everyone that's perceived to be a nerd, do they have the pressure now that they have to answer all the problems with technology, and they've got to answer all, you know, different, have solutions right. to problems that these people do?
Right.
Are they now supposed to be the superheroes?
Exactly.
Have we changed now the perception of nerds to such a degree, or would we, that it might be better to be Eugene from Greece because you're just made fun of, but you could do your own thing?
I like the old school nerds, man. No pressure.
I mean, this is adding a lot of pressure, but I think that also Walter O'Brien has a different point of view, or answering our question a little bit differently.
The show will raise awareness and a better understanding of why these folks are the way they are, why their internal sounding board is broken, and why soft skills and the social skills are so hard for them. Advice for teachers? Unfortunately, all kids are not the same. They can't be taught the same way. They can't be treated the same way.
And I can guarantee that Dave knows that, and I know that raising children ourselves, and many of you out there, you see the same genes, same scenario, same house, same food, and the two children are completely, utterly different, you know?
Yeah.
Or one child is different from you. I mean,
right.
even that.
Right.
So I think that's a great message. I mean, we touch upon, you know, the society dealing with people that are different, and he's just trying to fight that. And I like the idea. It disturbs me. I grew up in a different world, that a guy that throws a baseball makes, you know, $11 million a year. But, you know, someone like this Walter O'Brien, or someone that helps others, like, you know, people that school and help.
Teacher, right. Teacher.
Or help, the autistic children and to assimilate to the world and so on. They can't even find jobs. Or if they do, they're making an hourly wage. I mean,
right.
it's out there.
I agree with that.
And, you know, it's enough with these sports already. I am a sports guy. I like sports. But I've pulled away in that, you know, this money, we shouldn't, as a society in a capitalistic environment, admire and pay these people that much money when I guess we are, because most people are watching and paying dollars for them. But why are we so admired with just sports? Is there anything else in life, I guess, is a better way to say it?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's more to it. And I think Scorpion is a nice way to say it.
Three people in the world that have ever scored higher on an IQ test than Walter. I'm sitting next to number four. We don't want to make fun of those people. It's difficult. It's challenging. Walter has described it sometimes in ways that makes it feel like a disability. So at no point will our intention ever be to mock or make fun of.
That's Nick Santoro, one of the executive producers of Scorpion, just to give you an idea of who that was.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's where I stand on it. I think it's a nice turn, and I think it's the development. But you're right, man. What if all of a sudden this show becomes so popular that it spawns all these other shows where everyone is, you know, the nerd or
nerd
the smart
superhero.
Guy. You know?
The nerd superhero.
Right.
That's why I like a movie like Napoleon Dynamite. And what I like about that movie is because it's about a few nerds, geeks. They're kind of a cross, right? Because they're not intelligent, but they're also like asocial. They've got everything wrong about them that you can have. But the point of the story is that in the end, they're good people, and they have each other's backs against the entire world that's against them. And they learn a certain skill. That's a big joke in the movie. You have to have a skill. You have to have a skill. To gain them popularity, if you will, or acceptance by everyone else. So the story more, I think, is more realistic and more about maybe your everyday nerd, for lack of a better phrase, that those kids, those even adults, can relate to and strive for. It's about acceptance, and it's about being a good person and supporting your friends and your family.
And we're not making fun of nerds like Fonzie. I remember this distinctly, like Fonzie did. Who was admired back in the day? Fonzie was so cool. And I remember distinctly remembering seeing one of those shows, Happy Days, where he, I forget the exact thing, but he made fun of nerds, called some guy, you're a nerd, you know?
Right.
And that was laughed at, and everybody was so fun, and what? And where are we now? You know, like Fonzie's, you know, laugh that now in our society, no one would even watch that show in reruns with that A and all that stuff. You know, so we've come a long way progressing to respect intelligence and accept people in general. I think that's important and fun.
Geeks out.
And we will come back at Everything Old is New Again next week.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And right now you can try Listen Clear absolutely risk-free, with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now. 1-800-718-3929. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-718-3929. That's 1-800-718-3929. 1-800-718-3929.
Did you know that right now you could be carrying around up to 22 pounds of undigested waste? 22 pounds of gunk caked to the inside of your colon, plus toxins we eat and breathe spread throughout our vital organs, making us feel terrible. If you often feel tired, sluggish, and bloated, you need to call for a free trial of Zymbiotics. This revolutionary all-natural product cleanses undigested waste from your colon, flattening your belly and eliminating bloating, heartburn, and acid reflux, so you feel healthy and energetic. For a free full-size trial, call 1-800-935-6026. Because of our poor diets and polluted environment, toxins and waste build up inside us and affect how we feel. In fact, many doctors believe sluggish digestion is the number one reason we feel tired and lethargic. So cleanse your body with the unique herbal formula of Zymbiotics. Call now for your free full-size trial so you can feel healthy and energetic. 1-800-935-6026. That's 1-800-935-6026. 1-800-935-6026.